This is the picture word that I would give you. Shoulders bent inward, eyes closed, feeling and looking as if the whole world has dejected you. Now, how and why would Jesus use something like this as one of the most important doctrines or ideas to present in his very first sermon? And he says, happy are those people who are that way. Does that make any sense to you? Oh, how many of you like to be poor? Surely there's one person in the crowd that would raise their hand and say, I like to be broke. I like to be poor. Moving on. Surely here he's not talking about the state of being without money. Because if that had some virtue in it, that would negate the rest of the biblical idea of helping those who are poor. If being poor automatically brought some tremendous blessing or affirmation from God, we would be better off not to give any money to people who needed it. Just let them stay poor and let them remain in God's grace. That's not right, is it, Lila? Jesus says here, happy are or happy will be those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You know what I've been studying on this week? I just cannot get away from it. It's the idea of what Jesus wants to give us now. And in that crowd of people that Jesus was ministering to right there, he saw their needs, he recognized where they were, and he says, people, I want to give you some tremendous hope right here. But you must believe it. You cannot be halfway given to the cause of God. If you are humble, if you are contrite, and we're going to study about that one of these days. If you are willing to recognize you have a need, if you are willing to confess and admit there's a hole in your heart spiritually, I can meet that need, and you can have the kingdom of God in your heart today. That's the kingdom of grace today. Now, that should include eternal life in the future and the privilege of being with all the redeemed in the councils of heaven. But Jesus wanted to give the people something that very day. He says, today, when it seems that society rejects you because you are poor in spirit, and there were a number of people there, as I understand it, who were not Jews, who were looked down upon by society, who were outcast and rejected, he is really saying, I will embrace you, I will hold you, I will keep you, I will give you something extremely important today if you will accept it. I missed the social the other evening. Have I told you where I was? I was at a concert with Michael Green and Emmanuel Quartet at the Hamilton Community Church in Collegedale. So I was still in church now. And those tickets had been purchased before we ever planned the social committee here. After the concert, spoke to a number of people in the community that I haven't seen in a long time. My younger brother had gone with us. Some of you know my younger brother, Nolan. Well, he has been attending that church some, and I wanted him to meet the pastor. So I found the pastor, and I said, this is my brother, Nolan, and he's been coming here to church. You know, it's impossible with a church that size for the pastor to speak to everybody and get a detailed history each Sabbath. So Elder Arnold took some time right there and began to talk with my brother Nolan. He's had some of the same training I've had. Yes, I loved it. He began to talk to my brother about salvation and how to find Christ. And my brother loves the Lord. I don't think he really understands how close he is to the kingdom. But Elder Arnold asked him the question about, do you feel if you were to die tonight, would you be ready to meet Jesus? And my brother says, yes. And he began to explain the process of salvation biblically. It's good to have a brother like that. And then the pastor there said, well, when you come to church here, since you embrace salvation this way, you come here and we encourage you to be connected with Christ so that you can continue growing. And he used the word to purify yourself, even as Christ is pure. That should be the natural progression. So, what about this idea of those who are humble in spirit connecting themselves with Christ Almighty? It involves the idea that without Christ, we are really not happy. I read a story this week of an Amish man who bought a new pair of overalls. And as he stood in front of the mirror, the shiny buckles and colored thread that had been used to sew the overalls together kind of bothered him a little bit. So he took off the new overalls, or as some of us say, overhauls. And he put back on his dirty, stained, torn, and tattered garments and stood in front of the mirror and said, "Ah, you look good in anything." That's not exactly the kind of humility and lack of pride that Jesus is speaking about here. Jesus is speaking here of a place that a person can only come to as the Spirit of God brings conviction to the mind that we empty ourselves and embrace that even which we cannot see. The Bible is filled with the stories of people who chose to do that. Let me just share a couple of examples with you. Turn with me to the book of Acts. If you want to think about being fully persuaded, there's a lot in the book of Acts that has to do with that story. We could just begin with Acts chapter 2 and along here, this very familiar story. In Acts 2:41 it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." I like that passage of Scripture. If you study out the reasoning and the line of thinking in the Old Testament writers and in the New Testament, it's as if the Word of God is singular in motion, in that it wants all people to move in one direction. And that direction is believing in Him supremely. Blessed are those who believe, even though they do not see. Blessed are those who are willing to open up their heart completely to give God all the pieces so the brokenhearted can be established and put back together. In Acts chapter 3, you have the story of the lame man. I love to preach about him. He thought he was going to receive some silver and gold, but instead he received healing and confirmation and salvation. Verse 9 says, "And all the people saw him," this is the lame man, "walking and praising God." Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 5. Another story here. You don't often place these stories of healing in with the healing of the heart, but it is all connected together. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 12 and verses 12 and 13, it says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus." I just want to pause right here just for a moment. You have one of the most renowned preachers in the Southeast worshiping with us today. He's sitting right over there, Elder Larry Finley. He's been very quiet. Raise your hand, Larry. And that's his son, Truman, with him. There's a good sermon right here. A man that was full of leprosy. And leprosy can take on a lot of meaning. You could call it hurt, injustice, pain, suffering, ill treatment. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. When people see Jesus and they have a need, that need is met in Christ. But they must see Christ. Must put on the spiritual goggles and binoculars or a microscope, however your personality allows you to look at Christ. There must be some confession of the human heart that I don't have what I need, and Christ has what I need. And he is willing, he's desiring, he's able, he wants to give it to me. He wants to give it to me right now. He wants to give me a separate kind of joy and happiness than I get from the world's perspective. This man right here that had leprosy, he knew he was dying. All of those things that are connected with leprosy, he had. But when he saw Jesus, and his mind and his will and his consciousness testified, "I know this Jesus is willing and able and desiring to make me whole." He can do that. That man said to Jesus as he fell on his face, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Whatever your need is today, The same testimony can be given to you. Today, right now. Let me tell you an interesting story. My brother, Ed. And by the way, if you tell my brothers I told these stories, I will preach for 3 hours. Years ago, I accepted a call to pastor a district in Alabama. I did not know when I accepted that call that my sister-in-law, Jeannie's mother, lived and attended that church. It's an interesting story because I'm just going to tell you, she's dead and gone now and we'll never know this. She provided me transportation to church when I was just a kid, probably for about 3 years. When no one else was available to give me transportation, I would call her and they would drive me to church, let me ride with them to church. She had a tongue that was as sharp as any razor you've ever owned. I went to that district somewhat concerned in how as a pastor, I could share my continuing faith with her because I felt like she really needed to grow, okay? She even sued my brother-in-law, who used to come here before he got killed on Fort Mountain. She sued a lot of family members. Now she's a member of my church, and I'm the pastor. I want everyone to be ready for heaven. Now, I know I've got growth areas, and I'm working on those. But I'm smart enough to know some things in the congregation as well. And I know some things about some of you that I'm not going to mention publicly here, but I'm praying you get your act together and that God will use some of this preaching and the prayers for you so that you become fully persuaded and you're saved. I want that for you. But I prayed for this lady. It was the custom in that community to have funerals at night. And someone in the church died. I went to the funeral home. I was serving at the funeral. It was the coldest night of the season, and I lived on the second highest hill in Chilton County. I drove home from the funeral home, and my house was on fire. Smoke was coming out both ends of the house. Now, I used to be on the fire department. I even drove a truck. I know a little bit about this. Fire department came. It was so cold, the water was frozen in the hoses. Needless to say, we had a real personal tragedy there. It was just before Christmas. It burned up all the kids' Christmas gifts. And anyway, in those days, there weren't many motels in that town. Guess who we went to stay with? And that same night that the house burned, it came an ice storm and knocked all the electricity out in that county, even where we were staying with her. And here we are living in close proximity. And my prayer has been, God, please let her see Jesus in me and my family. If you want to know how God works in mysterious ways, hang around me a little bit and you'll see some of it. We boiled icicles to flush the toilet. There was no water. I can't tell you how everything just come together. I can't even explain it. Had some revival meetings in that church. I never know who's going to make a decision for Christ. I know people that I'm praying for. I never would have thought it would happen as it did. I stepped down to the front and gave an invitation. And that lady came forward. In humility and humbleness, she hugged me. And you know what she said? She said, I want to be rebaptized. I don't always know how to handle things, you know, how to deal with a diplomacy. As I talked to her about the baptism and what she would like, she said, can you sing the song, Fill My Cup? That's a good song. I can't sing it, but other people can't. And as I was baptizing her, that testimony, that declaration of faith, I believe it really did seal something in her heart and in her mind to be right with God. I understand more fully what it means for God to bless those who are poor in spirit. God will bless you if you feel like you're not as good as anyone else, or if you are weak and you struggle with sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. Jesus is more powerful than the sin. It really is not an objective. It's really not a difficulty with him, whatever the problem is. The problem is you coming to the place where he can help you. You know, cups are in different sizes. Some are small. I thought about bringing the beer stein today, but that would have been inappropriate. That's a large cup. No, don't get any ideas. I like to think that today, in the preciousness of this hour, if we could sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord, in your own way, you can speak out to God and say, Lord, I've not always lived as I should. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be engaged in the kingdom of grace, and I believe you will do it for me now. If you will do that, the same power that changed the lives of 3,000 people plus on the day of Pentecost, changed the lives of the disciples, and who knows how many more people, will change your life forever. I just believe it.